a world drowning in noise, where truth is often buried beneath layers of propaganda and misinformation, there's a need for a different kind of a network. A network of creators that cuts through the clutter, that doesn't shy away from tough topics, and that delivers the unfiltered truth. We are Trim Radio Network. We are creators. We are innovators. We are investigators. We're the ones who aren't afraid to call a spade a spade. If you're ready to participate in thought-provoking discussions, informational topics, and of course today's biggest headlines, subscribe to our YouTube channel today. We're Trim Radio Network. We're cutting the bull and serving the truth.
Welcome to Revelation, the Cosmic Connection. Peter Kling, known as the Einstein of Biblical Prophecy, brings decades of insight into the mysteries hidden within Scripture and the prophetic signs of our times. And joining him is Dr. Jason Rand, researcher and pioneer in the exploration of extraterrestrial communication, UFO phenomena, and the mysteries of the cosmos. Two hosts, two perspectives, one extraordinary journey. Revelation, the Cosmic Connection, where prophecy meets the cosmos. And now your hosts, Peter Kling and Dr. Rand.
Yes, most of this time the stars only come out at night if it's a clear night, and we have a more clear night coming tonight. We've changed the name of the show. We've kind of did a little upgrading here, but most important, I teamed up again with a good friend, very knowledgeable associate. Somebody who's got a real concept, and considering that this is the show Revelation, there is a cosmic connection. And one of the best people that is aware of the cosmic connection, and a lot of people have heard of Dr. Jason Q. Rand, and it's a privilege to have him back on the air. And this will become a regular show, Revelation, the Cosmic Connection. Dr. Rand.
Ambassador Peter Kling. How are you?
I am fine. It is so good to actually put together a show with you. And I know you're going to say this, so let me say it for you. We talk about topics. We do not rehearse a script.
No, we don't.
You know, what do you want to, you know, this is important. This is kind of in the news. This is making connection. And yeah, it's a cosmic connection, all related and centered around Revelation.
Can you think of a Can you think of a more perfect blending of ideals?
Not at all. Not at all. Because, Doc, you bring another dimension to this show. And we both have very similar belief systems, but for different reasons.
and different times.
Yes. Yes.
But I think the same motives.
Most of all, the same motives. And that motive is to help people comprehend the times in which we live, because we are at that cosmic, we're approaching the cosmic crossroads.
And we're riding the waves at a terrific speed toward that goal.
Yeah. It's a goal for us. It's a goal for us, but it's dire consequence for many on this planet. This is the ultimate battle of good versus evil, and it's not just a Earth battle. Would you agree, Doctor?
I would, but I do have a question. I'm often puzzled why God would have created evil for all the terrible things that have happened in the name of God. So I'm saying to myself, and I hate to criticize the big guy or make it appear that I don't agree with him, but I would never have created evil. I would have found another way to help mankind understand that innocence is innocence and trust is trust. And as the children of God, which we are in Christ's image, then we need to be aware every second of every moment of every day, every hour, every week, month, year, century. We've got to assume responsibility for each other and ourselves. And unfortunately, ourselves must come first. If you're not whole, you know, you as an individual, and you're not healthy, and you're not happy, and you're not motivated, then maybe you're not plugged in correctly to the Christ consciousness. And I don't want to go off on the deep end here, and I'm not. I'm only saying I'd much rather be on the winning side, right, Peter?
Oh, absolutely. That's the only side to be on.
Then the side I know is going to lose. Evil's going to lose.
Without a doubt.
No doubt. So anyway, that's my perspective on what I would like to help you illustrate as we do our show every week, because we're coming at this from a pure, unadulterated viewpoint of reality. Pete and I have already decided how we're going to look at things and understand them within ourselves and then present it to you, the public. We talk 3-4 times a week, sometimes four.
Yeah, sometimes four.
About this, that, and the other, and all the good stuff and some of the weird stuff. So when we come to you every week, we just want you to know that we're coming at you with truth and love, and I'll leave it go at that.
Doc, how many times after our conversations, personal conversations, have I said, we should record this? This is the show.
Oh, dozens. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's almost like at least once a week that happens.
Absolutely. You know, So we're making contact there. So I have a few little questions to pose to you.
Well, let me answer your first question.
Well, why don't you do that?
You raised and I wasn't expecting that question, but boy, that's a good question. Why did God create evil? It depends which God you're talking about, first of all. But here's the answer, and we'll go right back to the very beginning. God created the heavens and the earth. Okay, well, he didn't do it by himself. That was most likely jobbed out. He put forth the command. Now, humans as a life form weren't even close to coming into existence.
Correct.
Everything had to be made first. And so you put together, and here's kind of an interesting way of putting it.
The planets were all put together and pre-planned long before mankind was even considered a fraction of the equation.
Yeah, but you had to start somewhere in order to bring the seven dimensions into the complete 10. You had to... We had hit a point, and even Jax was confused by that one. We hit a point where it was now time to go into a multi-dimensional intelligent life form entity. When you look at the scriptures, it talks about several different types of angels. But let's get back to the evil. You see, the command was put forth, and I looked at this for a long time, for quite a while. It's in chapters 2, 3, and 4 of Letters to Earth. When you look at the fossil record, this planet has been genetically engineered. There's no other explanation for it. It didn't just happen. And God didn't create it in 6 days. What's he been doing for the last 6,000 years?
How about six billion?
Well, the Earth, a God day is 1,000 years. But anyway,
the Earth and the Moon are considered to be about 6.5 to 7 billion years old in their formation and into their present states.
Yes, that those are the numbers that science usually gives us. And life on Earth, you got the Precambrian period, and then you got the Cambrian period. So for about 3 billion years, you had single cells. The best that they had was single cell animals. But then all of a sudden, you get such a download of DNA that scientists can't explain where this information came from. Mm-hmm. They can't explain it. It's like, oh, well, the oxygen levels got up to where they needed to be and life spontaneously happened. Wait a minute. Life spontaneously happened to a point where there was more genetic information on the planet during the Cambrian period than has ever existed since then.
Yeah.
But somehow we get this story of Adam and Eve, and then all of a sudden evil seems to enter the picture. And you can
ask. That's where he first appears, isn't he? As a snake.
Yes. Well, not necessarily as a snake.
What do you mean? He was a snake. He was a talking, walking snake.
He was a serpent. And most likely Leviathan.
Oh.
Read about Leviathan. Why is there such a folklore on dragons? Leviathan, read it. It was a dragon. Have you seen Leviathan? It wasn't a crocodile. It wasn't some... Leviathan may live in the oceans, but there's a lot of mythology that's come about by Leviathan. And by the account, it would seem that Leviathan is reptilian. Mm-hmm. So are snakes.
Yes.
Because what had happened when Yahuwah finds all this out, and he said, it's like, wait a minute, why'd you eat from this fruit? It all comes down to the serpent, and to the serpent he said, may you crawl on your belly in the dust. Oh, wait a minute, where was he before that? Because a snake crawling on his belly, he does that for a living. But why, and where was the serpent? In the tree. Oh, a lot of snakes go into the trees. You think a dragon's going to land on the ground?
Mm. So it was a dragon, not a snake.
That would be my guess. Now, whether it's, you know, the big
chatting with Eve.
Yeah. And and you don't have to think like evil dragon, you know, go back to the one kids movie, the Neverending Story with the luck dragon.
Right. Right.
Right. You know, mm-hmm. only, you know, it's like it, what was actually going on here, but because you not only have the dragon within the Garden of Eden or the serpent in the Garden of Eden, but in Revelation chapter 12, there's a fiery colored seven-headed, ten-horned serpent, a great dragon. And this was the interdimensional rebellion. Mm. It was the satanic system. And what I proposed in Letters to Earth is that, well, who were the genetic engineers? And why did Satan think that, or the entity that we know as Satan, think that he had a stake in this? Mm. Well, if he was head of genetic engineering and everything was perfect, and God said, hey, let us make man in our image, and then God gives the whole earth to Adam and Eve and tell them to become fruitful, become many, fill the earth, have in subjection, but up and up. Wait a minute. Head of genetic engineering thought this was his planet. Mm-hmm. How do you get around the technicality? And now, keep in mind, it was only the best we got was Cro-Magnon man up to this point. Now you had a completely new species with complete human DNA, which was perfect. And so you had a jealousy forming with the head of genetic engineering. He was in charge of all of this, and he thought he was going to be able to keep it. But no. God had children that were going to fill the third dimension, and they were going to be his father direct. Mm-hmm. And that was the purpose. That's one of those things religion will never tell you. But that's what profound. It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so now how do you get Cro-Magnon back, and how do you capture the planet back? You sever the spiritual connection between man and his creator, man and the direct link to the power of the universe, of the multiverse. And we were at the same level as, guess who? Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the purpose was. He was supposed to be our father, but our father doesn't talk to us anymore. We have to take it to prayer and use Jesus' name.
Mm-hmm.
But yet mm-hmm. he is known as the hearer of prayers. There's a whole scientific explanation, plus the spiritual connection, which makes that happen. So mm-hmm. evil was brought to the earth. That connection was severed. And we had the head of genetic engineering, which we finally call Lucifer, or that's the common name now, Lucifer, the one who makes himself the brightest star. You know, he's in the spotlight. It's his planet. Jesus didn't argue that fact during his third temptation.
Mm-hmm.
But the evil came to the planet. And who are the most evil people? The Satanists running this planet in our physical dimension. We're a captured operation, literally.
Oh,
we're an enslaved population. To be more exact, we are an enslaved operation. We are an enslaved people on this planet. And you see, when you study the scriptures, Jesus ended that slavery.
Mm-hmm.
And bought us back. I love Riscala, the Arabic translation for Adam. Mm-hmm. I hope I pronounced that right. The meaning of it mm-hmm. is first blood.
Adam,
the first blood. Mm-hmm. And so that's what Jesus had to replace was the first blood by giving his perfect human DNA blood. He rescued back this planet. And so the reason that we're at this, as we approach this cosmic crossroad, what we are facing, and I've said this time and time again, but and Doc, you know, I said it to you before, or explained it to you, and it's real simple. 2029 in the fall will be the 2000th year anniversary that Jesus started his ministry. 2033 in the spring, April 14th, as a matter of fact, 2033 is also what is known as Nisan 14. Nisan 14 started with the evening of the Last Supper, where Jesus held a covenant with his faithful 11 disciples or apostles, and he told them, keep doing this in memory of me until I return.
Right.
So that's, we're right that's back to the cousin.
And that's where the Catholic Mass comes from and the Lutheran Mass, correct?
Yeah, but it's not, you know, basically.
It used to be all in Latin.
Yes, but it's a different ceremony that they're carrying on. The more accurate would actually be Passover.
Okay.
And when Jesus, they had leavened bread, unleavened bread, you know, it was just quick flat dough bread, kind of like a pita bread, I guess, and wine. And so Jesus used these two as, this is his flesh, this is his body, and the wine meant his blood that he was going to give up. And so it was a covenant to those, it started with the 11 faithful and then the complete 12, but it's extended to the 144,000. That's a different subject. But anyway, there's a limited number. It's a whole different show. But
yes, and we must do
it. But it starts there. We'll get there. But it starts there, and we're at the 2000th year anniversary. The 2000th year anniversary starts or is April 14th, 2033.
What a coincidence.
And what did Jesus say? Keep on doing this in memory of me
until I return. Yes.
So when would you say he's going to return?
Pretty close.
You know, somewhere after Nisan 14 and somewhere maybe around about Pentecost, because that's when the Holy Spirit was poured out.
Nobody knows
the day and hour.
But I have a theory on how it will emerge. All they have to do to change everything in an instant with no loss of life or limb or property is to simply shut the electricity down.
Oh.
Across the planet. Oh. They flip a switch and it's like what happens with an atomic bomb that detonates. However, the command destruct mechanism they have can just as easily be turned back on, like flipping a switch. Now,
like a polar magnetic shift.
Shift, yes, yes.
But which has happened thousands of times before.
But here's the thing: there won't be a lot of airplanes and trains and things like that caught in this loss of electricity because they will have given many, many warnings and many, many tests. So everybody knew that when it came, it was for real. Okay? Now, This has yet to play itself out, but it's going to tie its way into what I'm going to tell you next. Very soon, I cannot tell you exactly how soon, Pete, but I've been told by Elon that simultaneously all over the world, all at the very same second of time, large, very large, what they call sphere ships, large craft, will just suddenly appear over each capital of each country. You know, London, D.C., Moscow, Paris, etc., etc., London. And they will be seen very up close, very big, some during the day, some at night. Depends where they, it'll be simultaneous at a certain second of time all over the planet, simultaneously, 24 hours around the clock. Well, the events will take place where these craft will appear. 3-4 minutes, that's about it. There'll be billions and billions and billions and billions of pictures taken. So for once, no one can say or ask, are we still alone? And I'm not being melodramatic. I'm not overselling it. And after 3-4 minutes, they just demat. They go out and they go back to their other dimension. It's just that simple. We're talking about ultra-terrestrial and extraterrestrial intelligent societies that have existed nearly a million years before our present state of consciousness. Their intelligentsia is not of the kind of humankind that we understand. It's far more advanced and complicated.
The reality engineers.
The reality.
Genetic engineering.
You beat me at my own game. I knew you were gonna do that. So that's a good place for me to talk about my new book, The Reality Engineers.
There you go, Doc.
Oh, it's sneaky Pete here. Anyway, I have just completed, and it's just published, and I have copies of it. And it's really screwing brilliant, let me tell you. No. In all honesty, it's extremely well written. Took us 6 years to write this book. My writing friend and I, Glenda, it's the story of, the story is about 72 hours of my life in its consecutive flow of events, culminating in me being on a flying saucer in the wilds of Canada for about four and three quarters of an hour in the presence of a group of extra ultra-terrestrials who call themselves the Fourth Racers. Can't tell you how, why that came from. I was never told as many times as I asked. It was like a need to know on their part. But they call themselves the Reality Engineers because they were in charge of helping to create different types of realities on multiple levels in multiple universes. So that means we are talking with superstar celestial type entities, all part of God's army, I believe.
Doc, you know,
am I getting in over my head, right, Pete?
No, you know, because I've seen phenomena that I can't explain. My one son has seen phenomena he can't explain. It has to do with a ship that he said was 3 football fields in length and didn't make any noise. It was at night. He was out camping with his friends. He looks up in the sky. And he said it had windows. There were windows going all down.
It's a cube type ship.
I forgot how he actually described this. It didn't sound, he didn't mention cubed. It seemed to be, you know.
No, I don't mean shaped like a cube. No, I mean cubed.
Oh, Okay.
It's engineering. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yep. What? I apologize because you pulled one on me that you're going to have to explain. But let's do that at a different time. Because I want to get back to the point here. These things seem to exist, and it's not just Hollywood movies. And there was something that I saw, and I had a friend up in Canada. He used to keep track of this stuff. He used to send me some really crazy stuff long before AI. But Doc, you know how the sun gives off its solar rays, right? He was shown, he did an enlargement, and it looks like the wake of a boat going right up to the sun. And it stays there for maybe a minute or two, and then you see it go away from the sun. And I'm like, what?
Like it got a charge. Like it got a charge?
Yeah. And I said, how do you explain this? And he said, it's believed that they're called worker bees. They seem to be taking material from the sun and depositing it in the rings of Saturn.
Oh, that's fresh.
Yeah.
There's a movie.
Yeah. So, hey, the moon's fake. Or is it? Mm-hmm. We don't know. There's so much we don't know. Mm-hmm. We're given extremely limited information. And with even the best minds at work with this, the closest we could get is following the prophecies and using it as a roadmap to current events. You see this current event? Oh, look where it puts us on the roadmap.
It also puts us at break time.
Yeah, unfortunately, we don't take a break yet, but unless you work that out with Scala.
Oh, I thought we had a break worked out. Okay.
No, nope, not right. Yet. We're still working on that.
I want to go back to the evil. Wait, I want to go back to the evil. Okay, I'm not really sure you convinced me of its righteousness.
Okay, well, go back to what it says in Revelation.
I mean,
says,
I can't believe the Lord would have created something that didn't have righteousness in it.
Okay, let me.
I'm not trying to be difficult.
No. Let me answer this intelligently. We were created with free will.
Yes.
So you would have to pretty much expect that all life, all intelligence life, has free will. Yeah.
That also means animals.
To an extent, those who aren't.
What do you mean to an extent? No. They've got brains. They have emotions.
Yes.
They have beating hearts.
Yes.
So therefore, yes. You can't take them out of the equation.
I didn't. I wasn't about
all
to.
Right.
But they're not created with free will. You take a goose. Or a lot of migratory birds, that time comes and they're heading south. Now, whether they fly 100 miles south or 1,000 miles south or 10,000 miles
south. They're doing
south,
it with a free will.
They're kind of pre-programmed. They're kind of pre-programmed. That's just one of those things that happen in nature. How far down they go, they may not have a choice. It's going to get pretty cold where they're staying during the summer.
Sure.
But, yeah. And salmon are going to go upstream. Which stream? The ones that they came out of. Mm-hmm. But they're lower life forms. But it doesn't mean that they don't matter because they all are living souls. And I shall ask back the soul from every living creature.
Commandment number 7, thou shalt not kill. Is that 7?
Yes.
7.
Well,
am I right? No, I can't I can't be wrong.
I have to go back. it's a shame that I don't know them.
Let's say I think it's
I know the commandments. Go ahead.
Thou shalt not kill. No, stop right there. Stop right there. Kill means kill.
Yeah.
Does that also mean stepping on ants and killing mosquitoes and wasps and snakes that try to bite you? Thou shalt not kill.
No, because we were given dominion over the animals of the earth.
To kill them.
No, they weren't meant to be killed until after the flood was complete, because it, with the water canopy down, a lot more solar rays were hitting the earth, and humans needed more protein than what just vegetables were going to be giving them. So they were given the option. That's why they took clean animals on, edible animals. And the command was of any of the clean, actually didn't get changed into that yet, but he said, let the animals serve as food for you. Wait a minute, they weren't food first before. Let them serve for food for you. Only its blood you must drain out, for in the blood is the soul, and I shall ask back the soul from every living creature. From man himself, I shall ask back his soul.
Ouch! So, ouch! Well, that's heavy. That is frigging heavy, man.
That's what it says. But what's the soul? It's our intelligent energy.
It's the sum total of who we are after 87 years of experience.
Yeah,
I would think that God would want to preserve each and every human being's achievements to whatever degree is possible.
Okay? You want to look at scientifically. And actually using fractal technology, our consciousness resides inside of a huge fractal storage facility.
Okay, explain that quickly.
Okay, Doc, I've told you about my near death experience. Yes. When 1 second I was in my body, knowing that I was in serious trouble, the next second I was outside my body, watching them wheel it down a hospital corridor, and my consciousness, what I was able to, and things went from color to black and white. It was like, hey, we just lost the color on the TV. What happened? You know, Annie M. But anyway. That's the reverse. Well, it ends that way, but everything just went black and white, and I was in great protest over what was going on, because there were just so many new things that I had just gotten started, and now it was all ending, and I was upset. And then I realized that okay, I'm actually being pulled away, you know, like being elevated above everything. And so I said, I don't have any choice over this. You know, and I'm still consciously thinking about this. And so I said, well, let me see where I'm going. And my consciousness turned, and I'm looking ahead, and I am connected through a bright, bright, whitish yellow light that goes right in and circles around, just like it's a black hole kind of, you know, where light just gets sucked into it. I was being sucked into the great white light. It was as it was in a tractor beam. Okay. And then all of a sudden the tractor beam stopped. And I could, and it reversed. It started pushing me away, and I was put back in my body. Now, everybody who has a near-death experience experiences something different, but that's what I experienced, and that's exactly what it says in Genesis. So I didn't need any other fanfare. God had asked my heart obviously stopped beating, and my blood stopped flowing, and my soul was out of there. Peter has left the building. And so the dead are conscious of nothing.
But you got
sent back. Yeah. It wasn't time. Get back in there. Work's not over. It's just beginning.
Did you rebel at that?
Of being put back in my body?
Yeah.
No. I was also shown a lot of interesting things, some of which would take place in the future from that time. Okay. They're now history.
So you were shown revelation.
I was shown personal revelations. Some warnings, and some direction. But it wasn't like it was more personal for me. But anyway, it's not about me. That was just my experience, and everybody's got a different one.
Well, yeah, no, but I get it. I get it. But a lot of things. See, there was more than two or three major elements all happening here at the same time. There were things happening totally beyond your control, whether you believe it or not.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I had no control over what was going on, coming or going.
No, no, no. See, we think that we are in command of our reality. Well, boy, if you want to talk about reality, I wrote a whole book on it. And I can only tell you that reality is not at all what we think or believe it is. Not real reality, the highest level of reality.
Well, yeah, that's
the God, for that's the God spirit.
Yeah. For that, you have to look at it to comprehend what antimatter is.
Okay.
And that goes back to Revelation 2. I am the Alpha and the Omega. Before me, there was nothing. And after me, there will be nothing.
Be nothing. Yeah.
Well, according to M theory, which came from string theory, M theory says that universes are basically our universe, as well as another one, was created when two dimensions came together. Once they touched, there was an electrical discharge. What we see now, it used to be the Big Bang, but what we see now is actually an electrical discharge, and they calculate that electrical discharge from the Alpha to the Omega is about a trillion years.
Oh. Mere moments of time.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, you know, I suggest we get back here about 985 billion years from now.
So I tell you what, we've got about 10 minutes left. So let's zero back in on where we started all this. Okay.
Sure.
All right. I think I understand your explanation of why God created evil and what it actually was, the form of a dragon. So what I gotta ask you is this: knowing what you know about good things and bad things and evil things and non-evil things, and knowing that nothing can kill the truth or the grace of God, so therefore nothing can succeed against the Almighty. So that's got to be the winning side.
Absolutely.
So I'm saying to myself, how could I possibly allow myself to be anywhere near the other side that is definitely going to have a very dim future, dim view of the future, if they have any future at all? So I want to be on the winning side. And I like the rules much better. I like the Ten Commandments. They work. I like all the spiritual lore. I love all that. And I love a certain amount of ritual. So I'm okay with religion, providing it tells the truth about God, the eternal. So that's a very easy statement to make. Either you are lucky enough to find that belief system that is pure and unadulterated, or you may keep looking for it. But it's so easy to understand that it's right there in front of you. All you have to do is learn how to mentally harness the words of no. not good for you. You know, you can't do that, right? No, you can't have that diamond bracelet. Shame on you. You know, that sense of conscience that's constantly talking to you. Well, at least to me.
Yeah.
Mine is always telling me, don't do this. Don't you even think about that. You know, that kind of stuff. You know.
I look for more when my brain says yes.
Oh yeah.
That's it. Yeah, you're on the right track. Run this rabbit down. You know, that's and that's where we kind of need to be, and that's why Revelation is just so important. It's funny. What I was wanted to talk about, and I'm going to change the subject here rather quickly, just because of the times in which we live. And I've said this before on the show that, matter of fact, we did a show on the Euphrates River. There's two prophecies pertaining to the Euphrates River.
When it dries up.
When it dries up, but mm-hmm. prior to that, you have in Revelation chapter 9, you have four angels that are bound at the Euphrates. Now, wait a minute. Which way does it go first? Well, the four angels are not fallen angels, because they carry out God's will, and they go after that. They put to death through pronunciations, interestingly enough, but they put to death a third of the men who worship demons and idols made of gold, silver, stone, wood that can't see, hear, or talk. Wait a minute, they worship demons? So would that be the Satanists?
I guess.
Yeah. And you see, now we're dealing with something that's very difficult to totally wrap your mind around, but we're talking about interdimensional entities that made themselves gods in the name of Satan.
Now, they're not all that way.
No, these are the rebels. This is the rebel force that has captured planet Earth. Let's make that very, very clear here,
because my people, my sky people, the fourth racers, are from the constellation Arcturus, and their planet is the fifth planet in the series of planets that surround several of the Arcturian star systems. Very complicated, and I'm not sure I want to get into the dynamics, because I'm not sure I understand them totally myself. I think I do. Okay. But the fourth racers that I encountered, the beings, they were very humanoid in every way, but much more refined. We're about 250,000 years in advance of our knowledge, our technology, and our existence on this planet. I'll say it again. The entities that I had my encounter with were approximately 245,000 years in advance of Earth's mankind takeover. That kind of thing.
And Doc, I couldn't argue that, because the scripture also says that in these times, there would be angelic forces directing the work.
Yes, yes.
By all means,
you want to be on the other side of an archangel's sword.
Yeah, you don't want to be facing it. You want him to be back. You want to back him up. Let's put it that way.
You want to be way behind him when the fight starts.
Okay. Yep, or right up against them, one or the other.
All right,
get us out of here.
Hold on,
Doc. Let me finish up this one thing, because this pertains. with the water of the Euphrates drying up. That's in Revelation 16, verse 12. It says it allows or makes way for the kings from the east, the rising of the sun. Mm-hmm. Modern day translation, the kings of the east are China,
yes.
Yeah, when you go on, this is the beginning of bringing the nations together. For Armageddon. Yes. And so the day of God's war. But it's not that yet. How far this is actually going to go, we'll have to see. But it's going to need to be the CCP, the communist entities, need to come down, not just in China, but every planet around the world. Every country around the planet.
Hold that thought.
Yep.
Okay. We got that thought. We have that understanding. But I want to throw a monkey wrench into this discussion, because it would be hard for me to believe that the Lord God Almighty would literally destroy this absolutely suspendously beautiful and complicated planet. No, I don't think he would destroy this planet. I'm sorry. It's not going to happen that way. I don't care about what Armageddon says.
Armageddon is a political war, Doc. It's not to destroy the Earth. Right. You made a comment very interesting. You want to reset the clock, shut the electric off.
Absolutely. You harm and kill nothing except you force everybody back to the Stone Age.
Which is probably
a good thing. I don't know.
That there was a government study done on that very subject because of EMPs probably about 15 years ago, mm-hmm. maybe longer now. But they estimated that within 1 year of a total electrical blackout, 80% of the population of the United States would be dead. In 18 months, 90%.
Yeah, understood. I totally understand that.
So, you know,
I tell you what, you don't
have to harm a blade of grass.
I know. So I tell you what, that'd be a perfect opportunity for me to say that I'd like to jump in like I usually used to do in our show and do a little thank you, dear Lord prayer for us, me, you, and all the animals and everybody. And then I'll let you close the show out. How's that sound?
Well, we can do that. We still have some time here.
Because I know you have more to say.
Yeah. Here's the flip side of this, and this is why this is important. The Chinese have been involved with the CIA and infiltrated this government, as many people well know. What they don't know is that USAID was to help fund CIA operations, and those CIA operations were to push the communist agenda.
Of course.
And that comes out of the City of London.
Of course.
The communist agenda was invented by those from the synagogue of Satan. Yeah, it's in the protocol. It was written 125 years ago.
Yeah.
This isn't a plan that they just concocted. They've been working on this for 125 years. And that's what Trump's trying to take down. Look for a reset to come. Okay. And I don't think you're going to see the November elections, because there's a whole bunch of Arabic people that have won their races for political office who are all sympathetic to Sharia law.
Not nice.
basically have Marxist or socialist ideas. So do you really think that they're going to go forth with an election? No. Just think of having another 30 Mondamis running around controlling what's going on here in the United States on a governmental level.
Well, that's going to cause a lot of heartache with a lot of people if that election is postponed.
Yes.
Can you imagine the outcry? Can you imagine the press and the media and social networks going absolutely berserk?
Oh, yeah.
Crazo at Trump. How dare he do that? How dare he do that?
And that'll just be the start. That'll just be the start, because they are going to purge the government of every traitor. They are going to purge the government of every traitor. Those who committed crimes against humanity. Mm-hmm. And that will all be brought out, and it's going to take time.
Well, the people let me start politicking early, and then I want to say my prayer. It's almost 9 o'clock.
Absolutely. Yep. I mean, okay, go for it, Doc.
Okay. Yep. Everybody calm down. Revert to prayer. Seek counsel with the Lord. If you're Christian or believe in Christian ethics, just be above the fray. Ask yourself, what would Christ do in this situation? And then you substitute your situation and say, he would probably forgive that person and gently kiss them goodbye. Okay. So anyway, everybody out there, there's a lot of weirdness that's coming at us. The sun is starting to act weird, and there's all kinds of space things happening. And our politics here is such a small irritation in the ultimate plan of the Lord. So I want to say thank you to everybody listening tonight. We hope we see you next week. Not sure where we'll start or where we'll end, but we're going to be with you every moment of the day and night, because we want you to believe that we come to you in truth and honor and dignity. And I'm having fun doing it. So I hope to see you next week. God bless. Peter, give us a closing, and we'll see everybody next week. I love you guys.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Doctor. And I don't say the things that I say to scare people. It's to awaken what the possibilities are that are going to be coming up. And this way you can prepare. It's not to be scared. It's to be prepared.
Yes.
And yeah, this is what is going to be known as the Great Tribulation. And so prayer required, you know. We have to strengthen that spiritual side of us and create a very positive future.
You have to shore up your defenses.
Yeah. And you got to practice your offenses. Absolutely. Because in a time like this, it's better to have an offensive plan.
All the reason to be playing on the winner's side, not the loser's side. You know, the left and the losers and the evil and all of the un-Christ-like behavior type people, I don't want to be anywhere near that. Can you imagine the cacophony that will eventually occur when they're taken into custody? Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah.
That angelic core will lift up its swords and it'll be all over.
That'll happen. Avoid it the best you can.
No, absolutely. You know,
don't become part of any protest.
No. So anyway, Peter, good night, buddy. I will talk to you in a couple of days. Good night, everybody. Thanks for listening. May God bless and keep you. And remember, your first responsibility is to yourself to figure out who you are, where you are, why you are, when you are, and if you are walking in a Christ consciousness awareness. on that, I'll say good night. Au revoir. We'll see you guys next week. Peter, take it away, pal.
Thank you very much, doctor. Have a good night. I wanted to say thank you to our producer, Riscala. Riscala, very nice job. I appreciate what you've done and what you continue to do for us very much. And I want to say thank you to all of you who have tuned in. You know, it's a difficult time that we're going to go through. But stay in a state of prayer. Stay in a state of love. And we'll make it through this without any issues. Yeah, maybe some minor ones. With that, I'm going to say love and blessings. Tune in next week. We'll be right here, right on the Trim Radio Network at 9 o'clock Eastern Time. Love and blessings. Good night, everyone.